Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game here on this Wednesday, live at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp. But now it is time to talk to our favorite, John McClain, who joins us from Houston, and he's presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, although I have to admit I'm sweating profusely because I've been out at the Texans training camp since 8. I've done TV, radio. Now I've got radio. Then I got to go back in and watch practice.
I'm gonna ask my co-host a question that he asked to the Titans brass yesterday. Did you? So the team that the Texans put on the field today, are they good enough to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, well, I don't think so. No way they're good enough to win a Super Bowl. Their defense, they're good enough to win the AFC South the third consecutive year. Their defense is going to be really good. They've got great depth in the defensive line. They've got talented linebacker, and they may have the best secondary in the NFL. But until the new offensive line with 5 new players and a new coach and a new coordinator and play caller, until they prove that they can show significant improvement over the line they put on the field last year, I wouldn't mention Super Bowl and the Texans in the same sentence.
So, John, here's what I'm referencing. This was yesterday. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi did their training camp press conference. Joe was there, and he asked this question. All right, John, you've been doing this a long time. It's a simple question, but and Joe's getting praised for it. He's getting beat up for it. It's kind of gone viral. I like the answer Borgonzi gave because I thought it was a true answer.
It's the only answer he could possibly give. And Joe knew they weren't going to say yes or no. I thought he handled it very well.
Well, that's the thing, John. I've asked the same question from Fisher and Floyd Reese. I asked it from Munchak and when he was here with Reinfeldt, Wisenhunt, with Rustin Webb. I want to know. And if it's not, then tell me why. And somebody said, well, you know, they've had some bad drafts before and some bad – then say that. And say, look, we're trying to clean this up and go forward, but we're going to fight like hell every day we're out here to get it going. There are people who are emotionally, financially invested in this football team, John, who want to know there's a little hope. And you tell me there's no hope, then it's like, what are we doing out here? It was just a question that I've asked every coach that's been here in Tennessee to get their response. And so I like what Borgonzi said. Yeah, I mean, a lot of work doing the roster, and they got a lot of work to do on the roster. And we know it's an uphill battle, but just give me some hope because there are some decent players here.
Well, you got hope because he said that's their goal every year. And they're not going to ever say we don't have any hope. Because 1 year, let's see, the Rams went from 4-12 to Super Bowl champions. It's not often that you see that happen, and it has to start with a quarterback, of course. And the Titans right now are destined for last place if Cam Ward is really good for a rookie and he can stay healthy and some of those other positions step up, then I think that they got a chance to finish in second place, but I certainly don't see them as a playoff contender.
Any similarities, John, in that 23 Texans team and this 25 Titans team? Because you've told us that you thought they'd win maybe 3 or 4 games in 23 and they won the division, but you think anything similar between these two teams when you look at 23 and 25?
Well, they have a rookie quarterback who's going to start. Texans had a rookie head coach. They had a rookie play caller, they had a rookie general manager, everything. No, they didn't have a rookie general manager, rookie head coach, rookie play caller, a rookie calling the defense for the first time. So we didn't know what to expect. And then they had a bunch of injuries in the offensive line, and the line played better in 23 than it did last year when they were relatively healthy, and their defense was better than we thought it would be. So could that happen there? We knew they had a lot of talent, but it was all young and inexperienced from picking eyes. So maybe lightning could strike just like it did with the Texans, but that's very unusual. But then you look at what happened with Washington last year. Same thing. Nobody thought Washington was going to win 12 games. I believe that's what they won, and nobody foresaw that at all.
the 23 team, D'Amico Ryan's first year. How impressed were with you, John, from, you know, you read like you're not going to win any games to what he did, his development and kind of maturation as a head coach, which Titans fans would like to see here with Brian Callahan.
I think the fact that D'Amico Ryan's played 10 years and was really good and played for winning teams here, he had credibility. I remember when he came for his initial news conference, they brought him in the front of NRG Stadium, and all the employees had come out and were clapping for him. And it was genuine because he was back. Then he had a gauntlet of employees and former players lined up clapping for him, and he was overcome, and he made a great speech that those former players came out and talked to us and said, man, I want to put on pads and go hit somebody. He just had everybody fired up because of his personality, his experience. He never revealed anything to us, but he was, I told him, I said, you used to be a lot better interview when you played than you are as a head coach. And he just laughed. He said, I got a whole lot more responsibility. And then when C.J. Stroud stepped up and was good as he was, they had a pretty good running game. And then Nico Collins started to develop as a really good receiver. We saw some talent at the skill positions that had been missing. They still didn't have a running game, but they had real good special teams. And D'Amico just put it all together. He was preaching a message, and they all bought in. He is a very animated, demonstrative head coach who players trust because they can Google him and see what he achieved as a player.
John McClain is with us. The news came out Monday that Will Levis was going to have surgery on his shoulder, ending his 2025 season before it even begins. There are a lot of theories of why he chose now, that the team has said that, you know, they knew that it was a possibility, that all the doctors were saying to, you know, go through OTAs and all that stuff and then kind of reevaluate. He ultimately elects to have the surgery. What do you think that means for Levis's future? I believe it's over here in Tennessee, but what could that mean for him moving forward?
It's over with a capital O, and I wonder if he will end up in Jacksonville as a backup quarterback next year. I heard a theory that it'd be good for him to be back next year and play in some preseason games to show that his shoulder is okay, and then trade him when somebody for a low pick when somebody gets hurt. I don't think he'll ever be back. They need a better backup quarterback because the odds are Cam Ward's not going to start 17 games, and they got to have somebody ready unless the goal is, you know, to have another high draft pick. And I think what Amy Adams-Strunk wants to see is just improvement, because with improvement comes hope. I don't think everybody's expecting them to be a Super Bowl contender or a playoff team. But as Joe mentioned earlier, hope. You know, everybody wants hope. But I think Will Levis is done. And I think if there was a possibility he needed surgery, he should have done it after last season.
John McClain is with us. Do you think if they go through training camp and the coaches in the front office, they look at Cameron Ward and they say, the kid's just not ready yet, and they go to her and they say, hey, we're going to start Brandon Allen, does she support that, or does she go, no, you're going to put the first pick in there?
No, that's not the way she operates. She support whatever they want to do. That's why she hired them. That's why they're making the big bucks. And, of course, all owners want to be informed of big decisions, and she'd want to be informed of that. But she's not going to say, no, you got to play Cam Ward. And I don't think that's going to happen. They know you're probably going to take a lump with a rookie quarterback, especially considering the talent needs another injection in the offseason. The key is the offensive line. They've invested enough in the offensive line. Starting with the coach, they ought to be a hell of a lot better this season up front.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. He is presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. More coming 102.5 The Game. John McClain presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Chase and Big Joe 102.5 The Game. Our show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're out here at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans training camp day number one. John is in Houston at the Texans training camp. Is this the first practice for them too?
First practice started this. Well, they work out, do walkthroughs inside, and then they come out and they stretch. And actual practice time is about an hour.
Right. Okay. I think that's pretty much what the Titans are doing. One thing that's been discussed is L'Jarius Sneed, the corner that they traded for last year. Obviously, he battled injury throughout the year. Mike Borgonzi was on the other side of that trade when he was with Kansas City. Now he's here. And he starts the year on the physically unable to perform list. There's also some legal issues there. I mean, to me, that's one of the biggest concerns for the Titans is their secondary and the fact that their supposed number one corner has missed, you know, all of the OTAs and all of that, and they expect him to be ready for the season, you know, whenever he gets, you know, is able to practice. It doesn't look good for that. Is this going to end up being one of the worst trades that they have made?
It will be if he doesn't get healthy and play well. Borgonzi knows better than anybody what he's capable of doing when he's healthy. You hate to think he got money and then he's not, and then all of a sudden he starts getting hurt. They're not going to give up on him because he's too important to what they want to achieve. But right now it's you know, and he's legitimately hurt. But right now that trade was a huge bust.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, somebody texted in, wanted me to ask you, should the Titans go out and get another quarterback? They've got Brandon Allen. They've got Tim Boyle. Of course, Cameron Ward is a starter. And, John, I looked at the backup quarterbacks that are available right now. I don't think they need to do anything. I think they need to keep Brandon Allen and pray that Cam Ward doesn't get hurt.
Brandon Allen has started some games in the NFL. Tim Boyle had a cup of coffee here, and I think they need an experienced backup quarterback, somebody that it's older and somebody that's been through the game at different times of his career, who can be a sounding board for Cam Ward. Maybe that's Brandon Allen. Maybe Brandon Allen's going to be a coach after his career's over, and he's perfect in that role. Nobody knows better than they do. But I'm guessing as soon as they learned about the shoulder surgery, and they knew it was a possibility, that they have a list of guys they might consider, but first they want to see Allen and Boyle now that they've moved up a spot.
John, do people maybe underestimate how important having that first waiver claim is, especially this time of year? The Titans have that being the worst team in the NFL last year. How important can that be?
That is one of the advantages besides high draft choices, is you get first shot at every player who's waived. And I'll guarantee you there's a lot of good players who are going to be waived. Teams are going to try to get low picks for them, like the Texans, when they knew that they were talking to Cincinnati and they were looking for a running back and they were about to cut Joe, and if he's cut, he's a free agent, and then Mixon would be available to any team. So instead of doing that, they said, hey, we'll take his contract, we'll give you a seven. We're loaded with sevens, and Mixon came in, did a great job, and they redid his contract. So there's a lot of things that go into that, and the roster you guys are watching right now, there's going to be a lot of changes on that roster by the time they get to 53. And when those players start getting cut to get to 53, my goodness, when you got the first shot, it's a way to upgrade your roster.
Amen with that. We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, let me ask you this. Over the next 6 weeks, who does Cam Ward's best friend need to be on the field? And I ask that because you watched C.J. Stroud in 2023. Who was C.J. Stroud's best friend in his early development with the Texans on the field?
Well, he didn't have a great running game then. He's got a really good one now. But when he was a rookie, you know, you want a go-to receiver. You would like to have your entire offensive line. But I would say Pollard, because a productive running back can take so much pressure off of Cam Ward. Once teams know that they got to throw the ball, that kid's going to get bombarded from every angle. So I'm going to say Pollard.
John, when this preseason, they play the Buccaneers, they play the Falcons and the Vikings. How much do you need to see from Cam Ward for in these games? And how much did you see from C.J. Stroud in 23 in those preseason games?
We knew he was going to be the starting quarterback all along, but D'Amico Ryans wouldn't say that till the week before the season started. It went to camp. Davis Mills was the returning starter. Then they split the number one reps. And then, of course, Stroud started taking all the number one reps. And he played a little bit in preseason, but we didn't have any idea he was going to be as good as he was till probably the second game against Pittsburgh, when they beat Pittsburgh by like 24 points, and he was really good. And I remember thinking then, in the next week against Jacksonville, wow, this kid could be something special. So I think over those first three games, if he could do a couple of wow things that people would go, man, that's why they drafted him first overall. And remember, the best thing about Cam Ward, he has improved every year from his senior year at high school through college in San Antonio, college in Pullman, college in Miami, and now in Nashville. The kid has improved every year, and that says so much about his character, his learning ability, and the way he works off the field and the way he absorbs things. And he's had, think about it, different systems, different terminology, and now he's come to the NFL where he's going to finally get some stability.
Yeah, amen to that. I want to ask you this before we let you go, because Jim Wyatt tweeted out the picture or the video of the guys warming up, and then somebody commented that it looks like about half the team are wearing the Guardian caps. How much of that have you seen at Texans camp, and is this something that, honestly, a few years ago when it first started, I was like, man, these look awful. Now I'm kind of used to it. Do you think this is going to become standard practice now with players?
Well, you wish it would, because it's proven that it helps them to avoid concussions. And if you're a player, your goal is staying on the field. Durability leads to making money. But they wear them in practice, but very few of them wear them in games, and I'd like to see more and more. And they don't weigh a lot. I think it comes down to looks.
Yeah.
Players, a lot of those players are so concerned with how they look, the defensive backs, the receivers, the running backs, offensive linemen don't care how they look. And they have the most collisions. So if you had your guys in the trenches and your linebackers wearing them, they get the most collisions. That would be the best. Eventually, you hope they get a normal-looking helmet that can have the same results as the beehive Guardians.
That would certainly be the way to go. John, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of practice. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much. Enjoy training camp.
Absolutely. John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. He joins us every Wednesday at 9:30 here on the program, and always enjoy talking to him, and especially during football season. It is always really good stuff.
It is. Interesting, looking at the roster. You know what number the guy they drafted, Aladejo, you know what number he is? He's a defense. He's outside linebacker. I love this.
Four?
Seven.
Seven. Nice. I like
he's
that.
Number seven. So the NFL is kind of hopping on what the college has done for so long. You know, and you see like a nose tackle number two, which I think is pretty badass.
Lockett's wearing four.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Nice. Yeah.
Coming up next, I have a couple of names I'm going to throw out at Big Joe to tell me if it's better than what's here right now. We'll do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe live at Titans training camp today here on 102.5 The Game.